Hi, I'm Jenny. I have parents. They are old, and taking care of elderly parents, whom I dearly love, or rather making sure they're taken care of by others, is really hard. Crazy hard. Do you know what I'm talking about? I hope you never do. I hope your parents stay super healthy and super sharp. But if they don't, I hope this show helps as we navigate the muddy waters of how to take care of our parents. So today I'm with Paul Markowitz, a senior living specialist based in Dallas, Texas. Welcome and thank you for coming in.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Well, I know from working with you personally that you're very, very knowledgeable. And please share with everyone how you became a senior living specialist.
So at the age of 26, my mom got diagnosed with early onset of Alzheimer's disease at the age of 59. And my parents were divorced. At the time, I had a job where I was traveling every week on the road. And I had a younger brother, Max, who was 21. So we were both very young in our 20s. And the diagnosis was a surprise to our family. And we really just didn't know who to turn to, but also who to trust in the process. Because when we kept calling different resources, I didn't really know if I was getting the correct answers or not. And what I found by going through this process is that whether you're 26 like I was, 56 or 86, the average person is very stressed, very overwhelmed, and doesn't know what to do and who to turn to.
Right.
My mom's 65 now, and I never thought it would happen so young because my mom got diagnosed in 2008, but my mom's mom, my grandma, passed away in 2007 at the age of 93. So this was about a year after my mom's mom, my grandma, had passed away. So, you know, we never envisioned. My mom's side of the family had great genetics. But unfortunately, I tell people I found good in a bad situation.
Yes, because you've helped a lot of people through the maze of what we'll call senior care. And I have a handful of things here, Paul, that I wish I would have done differently myself. The first thing I wish I would have done is educate myself on the difference between independent living, assisted living, memory care, and nursing homes. Because in my uneducated brain, I equated everything with a nursing home. Like, I didn't want my parents to do anything but stay in their own home because that meant they would be going to a nursing home.
Absolutely. A lot of people, like you said, have no idea about the differences between independent living and assisted living in a nursing home, because a lot of people that are contacting me have grown up with maybe a family member in a nursing home. And a lot of people have no idea that there are actually different options out there that are a lot less clinical-like, but also that will provide a much more homey kind of environment with much better personalized care and better staffing ratios.
Yeah, so just a quick overview of these different types of care. Independent living was great for my parents because, like a lot of older people, when they stop driving, they stop eating well because they're not getting groceries at the store anymore. My sister and I were supplying all their food at their home, and that is very labor intensive. Independent living is a private apartment, but you get your three meals or maybe two meals in some places per day. Assisted living, also your own apartment, also meals provided, different gradations of assistance depending on need, things like showering, dressing, medication reminders, and help with mobility. Cost about twice as much as independent living. And there's nursing oversight, but not the 24-hour care that you have in a nursing home or skilled nursing facility, as they're called, where it's not your own apartment and it's more hospital-like, though a lot of them are more cozy and homey than they certainly used to be. And then there's memory care units, which can be its own facility or exist as a separate wing or floor of an assisted living. So had I known all these gradations, I might have encouraged my parents to move to independent living sooner when they were sharper, more mobile, more active, and could participate more in all the things that were offered there. And it would have been better for everyone.
You hit it right on, because I think a lot of people sometimes do moves too late to independent living, where a lot of people don't realize the benefits. One of the main benefits of living in a community setting is the socialization, that you can walk right out of your apartment and go to an activity in the building. And the other thing is that it just cuts down on stress for everybody involved. It cuts down on the son or daughter of the senior having to worry about their parents if they are eating three nutritious meals a day at home. It cuts down if their parents are safe living in their own home. And so I think the biggest thing that I do hear from families is that I wish I would have actually done it sooner, because I would have seen a lot of benefits. Certainly, we know that doing a move is going to be a little rocky the first several weeks. I usually say it's going to take about a 4 to 8 week transition period. And the reason I say that is because each family has different needs and priorities. And unless you are upfront with the place about your needs and priorities, they're not going to be able to read your mind on what your thoughts are. So, you know, I tend to see that families, you know, say, Paul, I wish I would have known about you before doing all this, but also I wish that we would have made this move a lot sooner because it would have benefited my mom or dad more.
Because you know what? They didn't seem to miss their house at all. And we thought, oh, they'll be so lonesome for their house. And you know what? It really wasn't that way.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people are not, like I said, I think they have it in their mind that a average place is like a nursing home. Until they see it, these independent living and any senior living communities are going to be a lot different, where people have their own apartments. It's not like an old school nursing home where it looks like a hospital setting with a small hospital room. So the biggest thing that I tell families is be open to maybe even doing a guest day in a retirement community. A lot of people have no idea that you can actually do those. So go participate in an activity before moving in. Get to know the residents. Go have lunch. Go have dinner. Go to one of the happy hours so that you can try to get your family member to experience on what a typical day would be like living in a building.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And I didn't even know it was available until after my parents had already moved in. What are some other suggestions and or pitfalls when shopping for a place?
You certainly want to go in 2 to 3 times at the minimum, but you also want to ask for references. If you were to go to a large assisted living or independent living community, the marketer is there to sell you the apartment or the room. And what you're going to see is they might, you know, try to even give you a hug after leaving. The marketer wants to build that bond and relationship with you. And what I see is that, you know, it is important for families to meet with the marketer or the owner of a care home, but you need to sit down with the most important person who's going to make those decisions, whether it's the executive director of a building or whether it's the director of nursing, before any decision is made. And, you know, a lot of people going through this senior care maze oftentimes, like I said, get taken advantage of. 80% of families have no idea that the rates can be negotiable. And that can be for independent living, assisted living, memory care, skilled nursing, care homes, but also even in-home care. If you have a companion agency or a sitter service come in somebody's homes, those rates can also be negotiable. And you can't base it on whether how pretty a place is, because that's what the average person does, is they want a pretty brand new place. What I tell families is the looks aren't the most important thing. It's the care. So make sure that you always ask for a reference from that community setting or care home, you know, of a current family that is currently living in the house, because we don't want to ask for a reference that was maybe living there 3 years ago, because that's not going to apply and things might have changed year to year. It's all about what is going on at the present moment. You can't think about what has occurred 8 years ago if you had a friend who lived there. It's all about what is occurring right now at this moment. And I think that the biggest thing is that a lot of families will maybe even do a move and take a step back because they say, you know what, I've done the move. Now the community can try to, you know, help manage my parents' care. And I tell families that you have to continue to be the advocate for your parents.
Yeah.
Because they're not, no community can be responsible 110% of what is going on. So that's why you have to continue to check on your parents or any family member that does move into a community setting or even a care home.
Let's talk about care homes, because they're springing up all over and they're a very good option if it's the right home. We have gotten in homes that are not the right home, but like any of these, some are good, some are not.
That is correct. And a residential care home is a house in a neighborhood setting where there's usually anywhere from 4 to 8 residents that live in the home. And it's geared for somebody that does have middle or later stages of cognitive memory loss or Parkinson's, or somebody who might need to honestly live in a skilled nursing facility. But the average person has no idea that a care home exists because it's a simple house in a neighborhood. And the most important thing that a family needs to consider is that it is a licensed residential care home by the state, because there are some care homes out there that are not licensed. And what I tell families is you have to make sure you do your due diligence with whether it's a large private facility or a care home. And just because a place is a not-for-profit or a faith-based community doesn't mean that the care is going to be good.
And some of these homes, because they are new, brand new, furnished like something out of Architectural Digest, and you think, oh, anything with this much attention to detail must have the same attention with the people they hire and the caregivers. No, that is not the case.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, even though families think that they might be doing enough due diligence when touring, you know, that maybe, you know, maybe that the care home or the community has cleaned things up right before you came. Maybe they had an air freshener put out to make it smell better if there was a smell.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's why I always tell families you want to ask for a reference of somebody who is currently living in that property. Because if they give you a reference for somebody who wasn't living there, you're not going to get the true sense of what's going on. And you're right, the looks are a big component, because a lot of these new buildings, they will give away incentives. They'll say, you know what, hey, Jennifer, we'll offer you a free TV if you move in. Because these new buildings want to try to build up and get, and certainly get census as quickly as possible.
They do offer incentives, but the new places are often very, very expensive.
What I tell families is that just because a place is the most expensive place out there doesn't mean that the care is going to add up. And, you know, there are places here in the DFW area that are half the cost of some of the most expensive places. I'd much rather refer families to those places that are half the cost versus the most expensive because of, honestly, the quality of care, but the experience of the management and the property.
Right.
And, you know, like we discussed earlier, 80% of families have no idea that the rates are negotiable. So don't go call these places and, you know, a family will call a place and they'll say, you know what, I have a $6,000 budget. If you're giving away your number, that's cutting down on the amount of dollars that we can try to negotiate off, because it can be a significant savings. And the other thing that people don't know is that as the rates increase from year to year in a large building, those can actually be negotiable sometimes. So that, you know, there's a lot of things that with the financials that people have no idea truly about.
I have heard you can negotiate the, say, the rent or the room rate, but not the care portion of it. Is that accurate?
That is correct. Yeah. I mean, you know, so what you can negotiate is the community fee usually, which is a one-time fee when moving into a community setting. Usually varies anywhere from about $1,000 to $3,000. And then also, like you discussed, you can negotiate the price of the apartment, the monthly rent, the level of care cost, which... what it is, a level of care cost, is when the community says, you know, if your mom or dad needs medications or showering, they charge you an additional fee for that. And so what I tell families is that you just have to, you know, make sure you know what the costs are going to be up front, but also ask what has been the average yearly increase in the price of rent over the past 5 years. Ask what it's been. Ask what the average has been. The typical increase is going to be 3 to 5%. Some places might not do an increase. Some places might increase at 9%. So that's why each place is going to have its own feel and personality.
Okay. Well, another thing I would have done differently is helped them downsize much sooner. Instead, the downsize happened after we moved them to their one bedroom, 500 square foot apartment. So we had about 1,500 square feet plus a 2-car packed garage to get rid of.
Yeah. And I think that is one of the things that people are scared of doing is downsizing and getting rid of things and maybe... having conflict with that. Do these kind of articles go to a charity or do they go to my kids? Because you're right, it is, you are significantly downsizing. You know, what I tell families is that, you know, certainly, you know, there are a lot of great charities and organizations out there. But one of the challenges is somebody could be leaving a 3,000 square foot house. They've been living in there, like you said, with your folks for 35 years. It's tough to downsize. When you weigh the pros and cons of living in a house versus being in a community setting, oftentimes there are a lot more pros to it.
Yes. And one final thing, at least final thing for now, that I wish I would have done differently is instead of just Googling everything myself, where every website looks like, oh, this is the perfect place for my parents, I would at least contact an advisor like yourself. I may not find the perfect place, but I could avoid the wrong place. Or a very misleading place.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, you're totally right, because like I said, the average person that does this by themselves, even when trying to find a sitter service or a companion agency to come in their parents' home, I met with a gentleman 2 days ago. He said his parents' things got stolen by caregivers. And you know why? Because he went the cheap route. He didn't go through an agency. He went the cheap route of doing it by himself and finding a person on Craigslist. And, you know, I tell people that, you know, In the senior care industry, there are a lot of people getting in it for the wrong reason, because they think the baby boomers, well, baby boomers aren't going to need anything for another 15 to 20 years. And like I said at the beginning, you know, the average person that you reach out to, they're going to be a marketer, whether it's at a care home or whether it's in a facility. There are some of these care home owners that are greedy, and they're only concerned with filling the rooms and getting that rent money from people. So that's why I think it's very important to have an advocate or a specialist on your side. And you need to make sure that the specialist is somebody who is local, not affiliated with a national company, and that they have a passion and they have a reason for wanting to help families out. With each family that I meet, each family is so different from one another. I met with a gentleman yesterday in a Starbucks. He's been through a lot. He started crying in front of me. I said, listen, you know, it's okay. I mean, I understand with what you're going through. And I think the average person has no idea how hard the senior care maze is until you actually go through it. We can both relate to one another because we know the difficulties. We know the stress on how hard it is for our parents and how hard it is and how stressful it is for you to go through something and for me to go through. I mean, there's never a dull moment, as you know. You know, a lot of people, I think, have to be very upfront and honest with themselves. It's hard to be with what their parents are going through. Nobody wants to face their parents getting older and needing care. But I think the most important thing is you have to, and I even have a hard time facing reality with my mom's situation. But I think the biggest thing is that if somebody is looking for senior care or a senior living option, you have to be very upfront with the amount of help that is needed. Because I don't want somebody moving into a place and then they're going to have to do it all over again. So I think you have to be very honest with yourself, but also the places that you're looking at as well.
Yes. Paul, so you can be found at seniorlivingspecialists.com.
It is plural, yes.
.com. Okay.
It is. It's seniorlivingspecialists.com.
.com.
If there are people that are needing help outside of the DFW area, I can definitely provide you advice and coaching and counseling on how to tour, when to tour, developing helpful questions for you, even helping you to negotiate the rates. And, you know, the best thing about my service locally is that there's no cost at all to my service. And people ask how it's a free service. And I'm very upfront with families. And it's in the first sentence on my website is that I'm compensated a referral fee when somebody moves in from the senior living communities and the care homes.
Paul Markowitz, thank you very much. SeniorCareSpecialists.com. I'll talk to you again.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.